seconds. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket of will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
It's Football Tuesday. Welcome into a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. I'm always ready to go at 4 p.m., especially when you have busy days throughout the national and local sports scene. You know, as far as Football Tuesday is concerned, we have a lot to get into because today at 2 o'clock, that was the deadline for teams to utilize their franchise tag. And that kind of shapes the offseason. Now we know what to expect come free agency, and then free agency sets the stage for the NFL draft. It's a big day, and now we know that some big names will in fact hit the market, and we will talk about some of those big names a little bit later on in the show. We'll start by talking about the Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They had a couple of very difficult decisions to make because there's three players that they could have used the tag on. Chris Godwin, Lavonte David, Shaq Barrett. They elect to use the tag on Chris Godwin and have an agreement in place on a two-year, $25 million deal with Lavonte David, which means now they just got to figure out a way to wrap up Shaq Barrett, and the Super Bowl champs look prime for another run. When the news came out earlier today that they elected to use the tag on Godwin, I was a little bit surprised. Because regardless of what anybody wants to say, the Buccaneers won the Super Bowl based off of that tremendous defense and what that defense was able to accomplish against all four teams that they went up against in the playoffs, be it the Redskins, or excuse me, the Washington football team, the Saints, the Packers, and then the Chiefs. It was all based on what that defense could establish up front. Two out of those three steps now complete. Super Bowl champs have got to figure out what to do with Shaq Barrett. To no surprise, the Chicago Bears used the tag on Allen Robinson. They had to do that. And I had made the joke a couple of times, what are you going to do? You're going to tag Trubisky? You still don't have a quarterback, but the fact is now you have a little bit of extra time to figure out a deal with one of the most versatile wide receivers in franchise history. And that's what Allen Robinson is. No-brainer for the Chicago Bears. That was one of the big tags earlier today. The Jaguars make their first major move with Coach Urban Meyer on board. Cam Robinson gets the franchise tag. And this surprised a lot of people. That didn't surprise me, because it goes back to the idea of protecting your assets. You know that the Jaguars are going to go quarterback at number one. Now you have a solid tackle to anchor that offensive line. It's a no-brainer. That's what the Jaguars are going to do. Some notable names that did not receive the tag today. Hunter Henry from the Los Angeles Chargers. He will be a free agent. John Johnson, standout Pro Bowl safety for the Los Angeles Rams. He will be a free agent. And Kenny Galladay did not get the tag in Detroit. So the Lions, we didn't really know what direction they were rolling. It didn't look like a full rebuild after they made the Stafford deal, because they acquired two picks and Jared Goff, so they had a quarterback in place. But they elect to let go of Galladay, and right now it's basically Tyrell Williams. That's all they have at wide receiver. Maybe it is a full rebuild. Maybe they decided that they would use Goff as a stopgap quarterback, a fill-gap quarterback for one season, and they would buy an additional first-round pick. Maybe that's the plan in Detroit. But there's a lot going on in the NFL. Plus, late last night, the Dallas Cowboys inked their man long-term. Dak Prescott, a four-year, $160 million deal, $120-plus million of that guaranteed. The biggest signing bonus in the history of the NFL. The Cowboys have their guy. And for anyone who says they overpaid, I'm not going to argue with you on that. But it's market value. And that's what we have to look at. It's still not, I think it's $5 million less than Patrick Mahomes next season. So it's not a groundbreaking contract. When Patty Mahomes signed that deal, it was groundbreaking. But you've got to understand the way the market is set. Teams do that. And what made it so difficult for the Cowboys, and we'll get into this a little bit later on in the show, it's the idea that the Eagles and the Rams broke the bank to sign Wentz and Goff. 2021, this offseason, I think, is going to be extremely major in shaping the way teams view quarterbacks in the future. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show. That's the big news in the national sports scene. We'll take a look at the local front right now. The Carbon Dino baseball team in action at home. They have opened up the 2021 campaign. We talked Emory baseball on the show yesterday. We're going to talk Carbon softball on the show today. The Lady Dinos will open up the season on Thursday. They'll travel on the road. They're going to be in St. George, where they'll basically play, I believe, 7 games in 4 days. We'll get into that in just a bit. We'll give you the local sports recap as well. Plus, we'll talk Football Tuesday, the implications of everything that's gone down so far with the franchise tag, setting the stage for what's going to be an extremely fun Wednesday next week when free agency is off and rolling. That's what we have in store for you today. It's Football Tuesday, and we'll continue in just a moment right here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
There's no crying in baseball!
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things. Play ball!
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Holy cow!
We talked baseball on the show yesterday. We're going to talk softball today. The Carbon Dino baseball team, they're in action right now, opening up the season at home. We're still a couple of days away from a brand new era of Carbon High School softball. Coach Kurt Nunley back at the helm after taking a few years off, and he's joining us right now over the phone to preview the season, which begins in 2 days on the road. These girls are going to play a grip of games over the course of 4 days. We'll talk about that and more right now with Coach Kurt Nunley over the phone. Coach, always a pleasure. Thank you again.
Hey, appreciate it, Jordan. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I always look forward to our conversations. And my first question is, how nice has it been to be back at the softball fields and coaching this team once again? I'm sure you're rejuvenated and set to go.
Oh, very much so. Very much so. I'm super excited to be back and be a part of a team and, you know, be coaching these girls. And, you know, it's just something that I've missed over the last 5 years, and you know, when the job came open, I've had a few, you know, community members and some coworkers and, you know, family members that really encouraged me to apply for the job. And you know what? I'm so glad that I did, because I'm so glad to be back and being a part of a team, and I just missed it. And, you know, being at practices and tryouts, and I just know that it's a good feeling to be back, and just very happy, Jordan. This is the way it is. Just, I'm very, very happy to be back.
Yeah, I hope you don't mind me saying this, Coach, but for those who maybe don't know the passion that you have for softball, I mean, I've had the pleasure of knowing you for the last 10 or so years, and even when you weren't the softball coach, I'd ask you, do you miss it? And I can just tell in your eyes, you missed being around the game.
For sure, yeah. And, you know, I kept track of the girls, and over the last 5 years when I was here, and, you know, looking to see how they were doing and watching a few of their state games when KSL had their games on KSL and watching them. And, you know, I've kept tabs with the softball team, even though I was out of coaching the softball team for 5 years, and I still really was really, really supportive of them, and really wanted to see how they were doing and really, you know, encouraging them to keep doing well. And just like I said, it's in my blood, and I can't get it out of my blood, and I'm glad to be back.
Well, Coach, let's talk about the team this year. I know you have 6 seniors in all. We've actually talked about some of your seniors over the last little while that have already committed to moving on to playing sports at the next level, be it at softball or volleyball. I know you have a couple of those girls on the team, but you have 6 seniors in general, and these are 6 pretty talented girls.
They are. They're very talented, and I'm looking for those seniors to be leaders this year. And we've had, you know, 1 week of practice so far, and you know, those 6 seniors have really stepped up, and they've really, you know, taken that leadership role. And it's really good to see you have a good group of seniors that can lead by example. And it's really, really a neat thing to see these girls and the way that they're coming along the last week. I'm pretty excited about it and excited that these seniors are able to get a season after COVID last year and, you know, let them go out with a bang. So, yeah, the six seniors are definitely good girls and definitely leaders this year.
Yeah, Coach, this next question, I guess it starts with the seniors, and we can work it all the way down to the sophomores and freshmen, but losing last season, and that's essentially what happened. These girls lost last season due to COVID. Have you noticed any rust or maybe some, I guess, aspects of the game that you look at and say, yeah, it looks like these girls have been away from the game for a little while?
Oh, for sure, yeah. I think I would say that a lot of these girls, they're playing summer ball, they're playing fall ball with their traveling teams, and I had some open fields in the fall. I had some open gyms in the winter time to help these girls get back on track. But you know, being in a gym is not like being out on the field. So last week was some growing pains, you know, with ground balls and you know trying to field some fly balls. And it's just a different aspect of being out on the field than it is in the gym. And so, you know, with these girls being in the gym all winter long and then getting out on the field last week, of course they've had some rust on them. But, you know, after practicing for, you know, six or seven times this last week, we've really, it seems like they're getting a little bit better and better and better every day that we go to practice you know, every day that they getting more and more reps.
Yeah, I definitely don't want to beat a dead horse because I've talked about this all week, Coach, but I got to mention it again, the spring sports season is so fast. It's so condensed, and that takes us into the beginning of the season, which we're talking Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and a lot of games. It's Pineview and Hurricane coming up on Thursday, and then you got a St. George tournament on Friday and Saturday. And so between those 2 days, you're going to play roughly five games. I mean, it's so much at the very beginning, but then on March 16th, we're talking about region play beginning. So it just moves so fast. What do you hope to get accomplished within the next week?
Well, to be honest, just trying to figure out, you know, how we're going to play the rest of the season is what I'm going to try to figure out for the next week. There's going to be some girls be playing in some positions that this is their first year playing in this position. And so we as a coaching staff are going to be moving girls around. We're going to be changing up the lineup. Just trying to figure some things out this next week is something that I'm looking forward to. I mean, we have seven games, you know, between Thursday and Saturday. That's a lot of games as a coach that you can, you know, tweak and do things here and there to try to prepare your team for the rest of the season. So I'm super excited for this week to where I can be able to, you know, tweak some things, ask the coaching staff what they feel, you know, where we need to put this girl in the lineup, where we need to put this girl defensively. And so there's a lot of things that we're just going to be learning for the next a week over these next seven games we're going to play. And I'm excited for it. I'm glad that we get the opportunity to do this, to be able to, you know, play this many games in that short amount of time. It'll be a learning curve for the girls, but it'll be a learning curve for mostly us coaching staff.
Again, our guest right now is Coach Kurt Nunley of the Carbon Lady Dino softball team. Again, the season will begin on Thursday. Coach, it's going to be a while before you guys actually get to play at home. I believe we got to go all the way to March 23rd, if memory serves me correct. So you got a couple of road region games. You got the trips to St. George. It's going to take a little while. And even once you play that first home game, looking at the schedule, it's extremely road heavy.
It is. And, you know, it's kind of hard being out in these rural areas. A lot of those teams, you know, from the urban areas, they have restrictions on travels for their district. We're very fortunate that our district allows us the travel that we need so we can fulfill our schedule. So that complicates a lot of things when we do scheduling, is there are some districts that are out there here in the state of Utah that do restrict their teams from traveling, especially this year with COVID. You know, they definitely restrict them with the COVID going on. But, you know, this has happened in years past where a lot of the districts, you know, they limit their teams on the amount of miles that they can travel. And so it makes it tough. But I'm very fortunate to be a part of a district that does allow us to be able to travel and let these girls play. So we're fortunate to have that here in this area.
Well, Coach, before I let you go, I want to talk about your coaching staff because, again, with you taking over a program, but a few years since you've been away, I'm sure you had to put together a stellar group. I mean, that's what it's all about, surrounding yourself with people that are like-minded and know just as much, if not more, than you. So how did you round out your coaching staff for the season?
Well, I have Dave Basinger, who was my assistant coach for 4 years the first time I was head coach of the softball team. He's coming back and helping me, and I'm very, very fortunate to have Dave as an assistant. He's been around the game for a lot of years, and the thing about Dave is that Dave is a super knowledgeable individual, and it makes me a better coach to have someone that knowledgeable of the game on the team, because he helps me. And it's like I don't know everything, but if I have a good coaching staff, they're definitely there to help me. And then, you know, Coach Butchie Vasquez, he's back coaching the girls with me. He was part of Wade's coaching staff. He is very knowledgeable when it comes to pitching and catching. He's going to be calling the pitches this year. You know, Butchie, he's been around the game for a while, and it's really good to have his knowledge as well when it comes to, you know, pitching and catching with the girls. We've got his wife back. She's going to be coaching with us as well, Jessica Vasquez, and she's going to help with that freshman-sophomore team. She was part of Wade's staff as well, and we're glad to have her back and have her knowledge. She's going to be the main coach for that freshman-sophomore team, and she has a lot of knowledge to give those, the freshman and sophomore team. And then we've got a new coach this year. She's actually a teacher here at Carbon High School. She's a science teacher here. Her name is Lindsay Hansen. This is actually her first year ever coaching softball. She's had some experience playing in high school, and Lindsay, she's going to help Coach Jessica with that freshman sophomore team, and she's learning and she's gaining knowledge, and I'm very amazed by the work ethic that Lindsay has and the way that she comes to practice every day and tries to learn and get better as a coach. And I'm very grateful for all my coaching staff this year, and I'm very fortunate to have the coaching staff that I have and the knowledge that they bring to the coaching staff. And you know, as a head coach, you've got to have good assistants, and if you don't have good assistants, your program is just not as good. And it makes my job easier because I can just say, coaches, can you do this? Can you do that? And I can just, you know, make sure that I'm walking around and making sure that things are getting ran. And it's been nice. It's really been nice to have a good assistant staff.
Well, Coach, it's great to start talking with you once again. I look forward to more conversations throughout the season. Look forward to talking about the girls and everything that comes along with the softball season. I appreciate the time so much, and I know we'll talk again real soon.
Thank you, Jordan. Thanks for having me on.
Great to get the spring sports off and rolling. We've got a break for just a moment. It's Football Tuesday, and there is plenty going on in the NFL. We'll tackle that when we return.
Since they want to know.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 7:50 a.m.
It's Football Tuesday here on Drive Time Sports. It's a fun Football Tuesday as well. I mean, we've had storylines that give us more abstract conversations. Today, however, we have a lot to get into. A lot of noise being made around the league as the deadline for the franchise tag has come and gone. We saw a lot of players get tagged today. A lot of teams exercising that option. We'll talk about that and more. And joining us as he does every Tuesday, we have Vinny Rondinelli. He's joining us over the phone today. Vinny, we knew it would be a hectic day. We knew it would be a busy day. It's kind of the first stage in shaping the offseason for teams. The squad start using the franchise tags through and through. A couple of surprises, a couple maybe not so surprising, and we'll get to those in just a moment. But nonetheless, this is the first day that really shapes the offseason.
It really does, and it kind of gives you a glimpse into how teams are feeling, not only about the players, but their salary cap and what they're trying to do moving forward. So, you know, the franchise tag is a big deal. And remember, a lot of these tags are simply because they want to get a long-term deal done. So they're buying themselves some time to do, you know, get to the end goal. So it was an interesting day. There were some surprises, like you said, and some surprises of guys not tagged. You know, and some of these, maybe the team couldn't afford to tag. You know, that's an important distinction, because sometimes these teams don't have the money to tag, to use the tag, even if they want to, Jordan.
That's correct, and I'll start with the biggest surprise for me. It's Tampa Bay tagging Chris Godwin. And the reason this surprises me is because that means you now have to work out a deal with Shaq Barrett. And for all the talk of the Super Bowl champs and the moves they made in the offseason, bringing in Gronk, bringing in Tom Brady, Leonard Fournette, all these moves, none of it matters if it's not for Shaq Barrett and Levante David. I feel confident in saying we're not talking about the Buccaneers being a Super Bowl champion without David and without Barrett. And when I look at the production and the level of performance that this team got from Chris Godwin, especially midseason, really to the end, it wasn't spectacular, Vinny. This tells me that A, they are either much more confident in getting a deal done with both David and Barrett, or B, this is a move done to appease Tom Brady.
Yeah, it reeks. You know, we had this conversation a couple weeks ago, and, you know, I said I would tag him third behind David and Barrett, especially. And pass rushers get so much money. I see this almost impossible. Shaq Barrett is still a Buccaneer. I just don't see that happening without some other guys going to clear room now with Godwin getting that much money. Now, the hope is maybe you work on an extension, but to keep all three of them now with that tag in place, I just don't see that happening, Jordan. And you got, you know, an in-state rival that is trying to build something. You think the first day of free agency, I wouldn't be surprised if Urban Meyer in Jacksonville, the first call they make is to Shaq Barrett saying, hey, I got the most money in the NFL. What do you want? Yeah. And it's going to be hard to compete with that, because there are teams with some money, and those teams with money, knowing the cap's going to go up next year anyways, they can afford to throw it out right now if they have it, because so many veterans are going to be on the market. I was surprised by this one. I really was.
Talk about another receiver that got the tag. That's Allen Robinson. I floated out the idea of Chicago using the franchise tag on Mitch Trubisky, which I wanted to see from just a laughable standpoint, the way that situation has been handled. I knew it was a long shot that would happen. Allen Robinson is a guy that they have to maintain. It doesn't matter who's at quarterback. You have to maintain Allen Robinson. It's a guy that went for 1,250 yards and 6 touchdowns last season. One of the most versatile wide receivers, I think, in the history of the Chicago Bears franchise. I try to stay away from that hyperbole talk, but Vinny, really, when you go back, especially over the last 25, 30 years, I don't know that there's been a better wide receiver come through Chicago than Allen Robinson. This right here was a no-brainer. You had to tag Robinson.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You're 100% correct. He's been a stand-up guy. He's been a stand-up player. He has been dominant at times. Considering the quarterback play there, you can say he's dominant. I mean, he's got 200 balls in the last couple of years. So, you know, considering what he's had to deal with under center, that's very, very, very impressive. Yeah, that one's an easy one. I know they're not cap-strapped totally. Now, again, they got some real problems. What are they going to do under center? But one of the main things they needed to lock up was whoever is going to be throwing the ball for them will have a all-pro or slash Pro Bowl receiver out there to catch it. So big step for Chicago, and I think the right move, no doubt.
And we'll stick within that division, a receiver that did not receive a franchise tag today and is now a free agent. It's Kenny Golladay. And I know he had problems staying healthy last season. I think he only played 5 or 6 games, went for just over 300 yards. But when you look at his career, Golladay having the likes of a Matt Stafford, boy, he's been pretty good over the course of his career. And he's had Marvin Jones on the opposite side. He does not receive the tag. Here's a guy that's gone for over 3,000 yards in his career. And I do believe that somebody's going to pay Golladay. I'm not going to say that I was blown away by the Lions not tagging him, but I was surprised from just a personnel standpoint, Vinny, because you make the move, you have draft capital, you have Jared Goff, but you literally have no wide receivers on this team. None of them. Like, you have nothing coming back in the wide receiver department, and you just made a trade for Goff, who you owe a lot of money to over the next 2 years. This kind of surprises me, and if you're Jared Goff today, you're probably putting your head in your lap thinking, when the hell am I going to throw the ball to next year?
Yeah, that one was a little different, and, you know, this one, it reeks of health. You know, I wonder how healthy Galladay is to get that amount of money. Now, they've been trying to work on a long-term extension with him, and I don't think they've made much progress. So I think at this point it's all, well, maybe you need to go see what your market value is and see if they match it. Now, again, we're not privy to so many of these conversations between agents and GMs, Jordan. So how many of these are the GM saying, hey, here's our offer. If you get something better than that, give us a chance to match it or give us, you know, a call so maybe we can match it or up it, but this is where we think you're at. See if you can do better. And it's not a foregone conclusion just because these guys hit free agency and they don't re-sign. The odds are they're probably not going to. But a great point you make with Jared Goff, he's thinking, hey, if Kenny Galladay is healthy, that's a guy I could use. Now, I know they just re-signed Tyrell Williams. Well, he didn't even play last year.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't even count him.
Yeah, Tyrell Williams didn't play last year. Now, is he big and fast and talented? Yes. You know, I know him well being a Chargers homer. But, yeah, this is interesting for the Lions to maybe not total rebuild here, Jordan, but I think you're getting a pretty good teardown and fixer-upper in that whole culture, organization, everything. So at this point, you know, for me, this one reeks of health. It really does, Jordan. I don't know how healthy Galladay is. He didn't play much last year. So I'd like to see what he actually ends up with on the open market.
Health and rebuild. I mean, and really, it makes me think that the trade that the Lions made with the Rams, and you and I had this conversation, the only reason Goff was a part of that deal was, okay, we're going to get an extra pick and we'll absorb that money for one season. This leads me to believe that Goff is not the long-term solution in Detroit. And it also tells me that I wouldn't be surprised if Detroit looks at a quarterback in the draft with the capital that they have. That's what this move tells me. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but the writing's on the wall.
Now, I agree with you, and we're going to figure that one out on draft night because, you know, you can see where teams are going with this in the future with their first-round draft picks a lot of times. So when you have an aging player that's, you know, maybe not as been as healthy, and then the first-round pick comes in, you think, all right, well, that contract's going to be ended here next year at least, minimum. If the Lions do take a quarterback, I guess that theory's proved dead on, Jordan, that they said, well, I got a first-round pick for taking a guy to bridge me over to my next quarterback. And that's really what it is. You've absorbed money. If the Lions do take a quarterback in the first round, Jordan, what you're going to see is the Lions saying, hey, I absorbed some cap money from the Rams, and I got a first-round pick to bridge my next quarterback because Goff can play. Goff's a solid NFL quarterback. He's a good NFL quarterback. And he'd be a good mentor or buy some time, especially for a guy that needs more work, say a Justin Fields or Trey Lance. They're not NFL ready. Not that any quarterback is, but those guys are offensively, what they do doesn't, you know, translate right away. So that first round pick of Lions is going to tell us a lot about who the Lions want to become.
One, you know, I guess we could call it a surprise, but we know that the Jaguars are going to be looking for a quarterback in the draft. This we know. And it was reported a few hours back that the Jaguars will use their franchise tag on Cam Robinson. And for a lot of people, this came as a surprise. Vinny, for me, it's not necessarily a huge surprise because, for one, it speaks value into the offensive line. And there's no question Jacksonville's not going to move out of that first pick. They're not going to. Urban Meyer did not take this job to go through a lengthy 5 to 6 year rebuild and look at draft capital moving forward. He took this job in Jacksonville because they have the number one pick, and there's something out there that he likes. I'm fully convinced on that. When you take that into consideration, it should not be a huge surprise that Cam Robinson received the franchise tag today.
Oh, absolutely not. You got a guy that's 25 years old. He's got starting experience. He's been fairly durable. But also, you have to take into consideration, this is not a team such as, you know, Pittsburgh, New Orleans, Kansas City, your Rams. They got so much room under the cap, they can do whatever they want. So for them, that number doesn't necessarily shy away. It doesn't equate to somebody like, you know, let's say Pittsburgh and Bud Dupree. Would they love to have him? Absolutely. Is he worth the tag? Probably. Can they tag him? No. They can't afford to. So that makes a big difference. So that has to be considered. But again, great point. He's 25 years old. Left tackles are hard to come by. This guy plays good football. Is he dominant? No. Is he an all-pro? No. But you're building something, and left tackles are hard to come by. So why not, when you have that much money and time? You know, this could turn into an extension real quick. You know, so a lot of these guys could turn into an extension or a long-term deal real quick. And you make a great point. Urban Meyer is not a patient man. Urban Meyer is not going to be there 5 years from now, you know, crawling into his first seven or nine-win season, excuse me. So this is a win-now move, and he knows Trevor Lawrence can buy some time, move around. They want to make that part of his game. This should not be a surprise, and it's a good, solid move for that team.
Yeah, it is. It is one franchise that we have just really become accustomed to making smart, low-key, not big splashy moves, but moves that pay dividends. It's the New England Patriots. And I hate using the cliche, boy, that was a very Patriot move today. I've caught myself saying that a million times here on the show. But, Vinny, that's exactly what they've done over the last 24 hours. They are not going to use the tag. They did not use the tag on Joe Tooney. Instead, they make a move for Trent Brown. So he's back to where he really became a star, working out a deal with the Raiders. I mean, that pretty much was a clear indication that Tooney was not going to receive the tag and that he would be an unrestricted free agent. But again, the Patriots somehow, some way, in my mind, got better within that front five while letting go, possibly letting go of Tooney, who is going to get paid.
Yeah, they, you know, he seems to pull these moves quite a bit there in New England, but Trent Brown left to get overpaid. You know, at the time, you know, when that contract was announced, I laughed. I just burst out laughing, like, you got to be kidding me with that. He takes a pay cut to go back to New England for nothing. I think it's a fifth rounder.
Yeah.
Swapping fifth rounders. So basically for nothing. Now, with the Patriots, too, you know, there's always something, you know, for the casual fan, they just see the trade to the New England Patriots and they think, oh, well, what were the Raiders doing or what are the Patriots doing? Well, if Trent Brown can play left tackle and stay healthy, Isaiah Wynn, guess what? He moves right back into a Joe Tooney spot. And you can re-sign probably your center in Andrews. So you basically have three players along the front instead of paying Joe Tooney. So, again, good move by the Patriots. You upgrade. Tooney's probably going to get overpaid. Well, maybe not overpaid, but he's going to get paid. Let's say that, Jordan. And somebody's going to pay him. And the Patriots are not going to give that type of money out to somebody when Isaiah Wynn can probably slide into guard and be serviceable. So, I mean, there is a replacement on the roster. So it wasn't a very slick move, once again, by Belichick and the Patriots.
Yeah,
but, you know, for Trent Brown, here's a guy that, you know, he earned himself some money. And then he, you know, he took the big money. Didn't work out for him. And, you know, for the Raiders, you know, looking at this, Jordan, let's look at the other end of this. You know, great move by Belichick. But what about Mike Mayock and John Gruden now?
Mm-hmm.
They have basically, they've lost Vontaze Burfict, LaMarcus mm-hmm. Joyner, mm-hmm. Trent Brown, Antonio Brown, Tyrell Williams. So 2 years ago, when they made a splash, you know, it was Hard Knocks. It was the Raiders. We're making a splash. Well, that offseason doesn't look very good right now, does it?
No, it doesn't. And I don't think that you can fault what they did. I mean, look, the fact of the matter is there is immense pressure when you leave a market and go to a new market. There is. There's immense pressure, and you have to create some sort of excitement. The idea of, well, this team is coming into this market, that doesn't create excitement anymore, right? Because it's just a different world that we live in. So when you go to a market, you have to be good or at least have some sort of buzz around you. And I thought the Raiders did an excellent job in that. There's a marketing side to things, and sometimes we overlook that for football reasons. But you got to understand that it is a business. And so for anyone questioning the 10-year deal with Gruden, I guarantee you the excitement that it created in Vegas. I was there. I saw it firsthand. It was astronomical. And anytime you move to a new market, you have to spend money to create excitement. And sometimes, especially in the NFL where you have a hard cap, you have to overpay at some point to create future excitement for free agents moving forward. And I think that's what the Raiders have done. I mean, we can look at it right now and say it was a disaster. The LaMarcus Joyner signing, it was a disaster. I thought it was a disaster the day they made that signing and the amount of money that they gave him. I remember you and I talked about it here on the show. But you have to overpay in some regard because Mike Mayock took over a situation from Reggie McKenzie that was not great.
No, it wasn't. And, you know, They haven't got a return on Khalil Mack. They lost, you know, Trent Brown, the Antonio Brown saga, you know. They did create excitement. They had Hard Knocks. They had the new state. You know, all these things going on. But now you're year three into this, Jordan, and you're not sniffing the playoffs.
That's right.
Been there yet. And now you've got guys all over the league, or all your guys that you signed to create that excitement, they're not even there.
Yeah.
So, you know, Las Vegas has got to take a step, or, you know, the pressure is going to be really on, because, hey, we're on year three of this project here, Gruden and Mayock, and everything you've tried so far has not worked. I mean, the most consistent player they stumbled into in Darren Waller, he was a cut from the Ravens due to substance abuse problems. And, you know, that's their best free agent signing or draftee to this point. Carr was there. They inherited Carr. So, again, this is it does look pretty bad to me. I mean, it really does.
Yeah, this next year is going to be very telling of the future, I think, of both those two, because they are connected. I mean, fair or unfair, Mayock and Gruden are connected.
It's a valid point. You've got to create excitement. But once you get that excitement going, you got to win some football games, or people, this is the NFL. Their attention span's real short. So now it's, well, that was cool then, but, come on. We haven't done anything with this. So this is a time for Las Vegas. This is really an important offseason in my eyes.
Football Tuesday here on Drive Time Sports. The big news that was breaking earlier, Dak Prescott signed a long-term deal with the Dallas Cowboys, so that saga is over. We got to touch on that, but we have to break for just a moment. More Football Tuesday coming up right here on Drive Time Sports. It's Football Tuesday here on Drive Time Sports. Just talked about those teams that utilized the franchise tag and how it's going to shape the offseason. One team that did not have to use the franchise tag, it was the Dallas Cowboys. They have their quarterback now locked up for the foreseeable future. Dak Prescott is a very, very rich man. A four-year, $160 million deal, including $126 million guaranteed. This broke late last night. The terms were not immediately released, and I was curious to see how this deal stacks up against Patrick Mahomes. $5 million less per year going into next season. We're looking at Mahomes at $45 million, Dak Prescott at $40 million. The deal is technically for 6 years, but it voids to four, which will help the Cowboys against the cap. And Vinny, the story, when this broke last night, there was the story that came out about, this is a tip of the hat that Jerry Jones knows that a remarkable TV deal is coming. He's well aware of it, so he bends. He gives Prescott this four-year, $160 million jaw-dropping deal because he's so business savvy. And we can touch on that in just a moment. Fact of the matter is, the Cowboys had to get this deal done. They had to. There's too much uncertainty surrounding this franchise, and it does serve as a distraction. It serves as, I guess that is probably the right word, a distraction that not only surrounds your star quarterback, but your team in general, based on the fact that he is your general. They had to get this deal done.
Absolutely, and, you know, it's too late. You know, I mean, Jerry Jones, once again, is getting some kudos for getting a job done that he should have gotten done 2 years ago and probably could have gotten it cheaper. So, but again, you're looking at this as the four-year voidable. I think it's an interesting point because of the other stack contract here, and a good glimpse in the future, because the Cowboys have some cap problems now. You know, Tyron Smith, Zach Martin, Ezekiel Elliott, which was a terrible contract at the time, should have never been done, especially before Dak. DeMarcus Lawrence, who hasn't earned his money in 2 years. So the Cowboys had to get something done, because they're going to have to get rid of some of these deals unless that cap goes way up. And maybe it will. Maybe it will, but long overdue. Dak has been a solid NFL player, a good face to franchise for Dallas. That's the going rate, too. Did they overpay? Yes. Is that the going rate? Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, that's just what it is. You know, people are always going to say, well, that was too much money. Yeah. You know, it's too much money for any NFL player for a lot of people, honestly, you know. So that was the going rate. They get a quarterback. He's still young. He's probably perfectly healthy by now. So I like the deal. Dak's earned his money. A little late for me. I think Jerry Jones should have got this done a lot sooner. But, hey, Dallas, in that division right now, you got to think, if he's healthy and their defense just is, you know, Dan Quinn does a solid job, you got to think they're the favorite in that division.
I agree with you. Yeah, you know, I agree with you. And when you look at what they have signed up now for the long term, we're talking CeeDee Lamb, Blake Jarwin, Amari Cooper, Ezekiel Elliott. These names aren't going anywhere unless Dallas chooses to really execute those contracts. That's the only reason that group that I just mentioned, those five players, Lamb, Jarwin, Prescott, Cooper, and Elliott, are not on the Cowboys moving into 2024. So the core's locked up, which is a good thing. And I agree with you. The cap is going to jump. It's going to jump drastically once we get past this next season. It has to, because we're seeing a decrease in the cap. Fans are going to be back in the stands. We're talking about a new TV deal. It's going to rise to an astronomical level in my mind. It's going to be record-breaking within the next 2 years, and I think Jerry Jones knows that. Vinny, to go back to what you said about he should have got this deal done a long time ago, I will give the Cowboys and Jones a little bit of leeway in the fact that it was not completed a couple of seasons ago because, again, the going market. And what complicated things with the Cowboys, I really truly believe it's this simple. What complicated things with the Cowboys and Prescott was the fact that Jared Goff and Carson Wentz signed massive deals in 2019, which was the final year of the collective bargaining agreement. And because of that, it's the market. Those two teams set the market with Wentz and Goff, and they proved to be bad contracts. Neither one of those two players are playing for the teams that gave them those massive deals. And I think that's one thing that you really have to pay attention to in the NFL. The market gets reset constantly. The fact that Dak Prescott was a fourth-round pick the year Goff and Wentz were 1-2, the same year they signed massive contract extensions in the final year of the CBA, it complicated things.
Absolutely, it did. And, you know, I think the deal probably could have got done a little bit cleaner and sooner. I honestly believe that. But it is what it is. But again, like you say, a lot of that is the market, and the market is always going to be reset. The next big quarterback contract is going to be different. Mahomes was unbelievable. And, you know, Deshaun Watson signs a big one, and guess what? Now he's threatening not to play. He's just not going to get paid. Do I buy that? No, but, you know, here's a guy, again, that set the market or was right in on a level of pay that was previously unheard of, and he's threatening not to play. So he could... What if he's not a Texan? So then you got Dak Prescott and Mahomes are the only guys that signed big deals that stayed with their teams. It's a crazy, crazy market with the quarterbacks. I agree with you 100%, though. That is what it is. It is the market. And you're going to have to pay to play. That's just the way it's going to be. For the Cowboys, though, moving forward, I do agree that Prescott, you know, he's earned his money. And his value was shown when he wasn't there last year. I mean, they were pretty awful. So, you know, again, if that defense is, let's say, middle of the road, if Dan Quinn can get him in the teens, you got to think they're the favorite to win the division, Jordan.
Well, I would agree. I would agree. And as you said, his value's been proven. He's 42-27 as the starting quarterback of the Cowboys. But, Vinny, this deal, I think, right here, combined with what we've seen this offseason, a lot of quarterback movement, I think it may, and because the NFL is a copycat league. It has been a copycat league, especially as you get stiffer and stiffer rules with the CBA and you see teams get more creative with the cap, that I believe that this deal may actually be future altering. And what I mean by that, if you look at the way the Goff and Wentz deal really made things complicated for the Cowboys and Prescott to get a deal done, have we now entered an era of the NFL where teams are no longer hell-bent on keeping their okay quarterbacks? Because quarterback movement was very, very, very slim. Like, you just didn't see a lot of it over the last 5 years. But now you're seeing, again, the market reset to astronomical levels where players will account for 30-plus percent of the cap. And you look at the mediocre quarterbacks. I'm not even going to say mediocre. You look at quarterbacks that you can win with, not quarterbacks that automatically win you games. Like, there's a difference there. And we have to be able to differentiate a guy that will win you games and a guy that can win you games. The way the market has gone and the way we've seen teams eat money, I think quarterback movement is going to be much more frequent in the NFL. And I believe we point to the 2021 offseason for that future movement.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, you know, you see a guy with $25 million bucks, I think Brady signed for. And Brady had a better roster. Is Brady a better quarterback than Mahomes? No. You know, physically, no. You know, but Brady's $25 million. I think Mahomes is $45 million. Well, guess what? The team in Tampa Bay embarrassed the player in Mahomes in the Super Bowl. So we're going to see that. I think you make a valid point. You're going to see this where it's going to be each team's going to value their quarterbacks differently, and they're going to say, well, I need a very good quarterback with a very good team, or I need an elite quarterback with nothing else. Well, we're going to see, because Deshaun Watson got paid like an elite quarterback. His roster suffered. I think they won 4 games last year. Mahomes makes the Super Bowl, and you know, he's playing out there by himself, and they said, well, Mahomes can beat you. Well, he couldn't. He got pretty much beat up and embarrassed in that Super Bowl. And you make a great point. The last couple of years, we've seen the movement that we've never seen before. It was very rare to see quarterbacks, especially very good quarterbacks. In the last 20 years, I mean, only two come to mind. One's Brett Favre, one's Peyton Manning. And, you know, both of them had guys kind of in waiting. The Colts had number one pick, which was Andrew Luck. Favre, you know, they had some trouble there, and Aaron Rodgers was on the bench. But that was still very rare. Remember, those were watershed moments. We were like, whoa, you know, Brett Favre is in another uniform. Peyton Manning's not a Colt. It was a huge deal. Now we're seeing this quite often. We're seeing this, what, half a dozen times in the last 2 years. Yeah. So I agree with you. Quarterback movement's going to be something to keep an eye on, especially with, you know, a lot of these guys leaving the league. I know Roethlisberger resigned, but, you know, he's basically, it's got to be a one-year deal. He's basically on his way out. Drew Brees is going to retire. Rivers retired. Brady might play till he's 103. Nobody knows. So, I mean, honestly, Jordan, the quarterback market's going to be wild, because you got the second highest paid quarterback in the NFL. He's sitting at home right now just threatening not to play football.
Yeah, it's unique. And when you go back and you look at the Super Bowl champions, just go back over the last couple of years. Let's look at the champs. Kansas City got to 2 Super Bowls with Patrick Mahomes on a rookie-scale contract.
Yep.
You talked about Tom Brady. His deal in New England was never astronomical. It never was. He was constantly restructuring that deal, taking less money to put better players around him. That's something you could always tip your hat to Tom Brady for doing, because he could have been the highest-paid athlete in the history of the game, and he never accepted a deal like that. He could have demanded it, and he would have gotten it. Okay, so they beat the Rams. Goff was on a rookie-scale contract in the Super Bowl. Carson Wentz may not have been the quarterback for the Eagles when they won the Super Bowl because he was hurt, but it was a rookie-scale deal. Then you look at the Patriots the year before that when they beat Atlanta. That wasn't the case for the Falcons and Matt Ryan, but again, you had a restructured deal of Tom Brady. You go down the list, I mean, even when the Seahawks, we're talking about the Seahawks having problems right now with Russell Wilson. When did the Seahawks have their most success with Russell Wilson? When he didn't account for 30% of the cap. And so I really think that the offseason of 2021 is going to shape the quarterback position, at least the way teams value it moving forward.
Absolutely. And these guys, you know, with the cap the way it's going to be, it's going to come down to, just like you said, Tom Brady taking less money to play in Tampa Bay. Well, that was a good football team. He didn't pick Tampa Bay because of the money. He picked Tampa Bay because he knew that was the best chance to win.
Yep.
Are other players going to do that? And we'll see. Would Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson take pay cuts to go to better football teams? We'll see what kind of guys they are.
Yeah. I can't fault him either way. If you want to get paid, hey, good for you. I'm never going to criticize someone for getting their money, especially when you sign a contract. But, again, one of the things that when we look back on the legacy of Tom Brady, the history of Brady, we got to look back at the fact that this guy passed on being one of the highest paid athletes in the history of sports several times.
Yeah. And he made his money back in endorsements and his bonuses and, you know, the game checks and all that because, you know what, he was in those big games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and you know, and we're going to see that now. What goes on with some of these guys? And you're right. You see Stafford, he signed a big deal. They moved on. Goff, Wentz, they moved on. Russell Wilson, are they taking offers for Russell Wilson? Yeah, they're listening. I can assure you, they're answering the phone. So with all that going on, Jordan, it is interesting. You make a great point. Quarterbacks are going to be viewed differently because teams right now are copycatting, going, well, Mahomes is all they got. We'll take it because we think we can beat them, just like Tampa Bay did.
Yep. Yeah, it's changing. It's definitely changing.
Yeah.
And I think 2021 is going to be historical when we look back on it. Vinny Rondinelli again, our guest every Tuesday for Football Tuesday. Vinny out of time. Next week is going to be a lot of fun because the free agency frenzy is right around the corner, and I believe it's going to be coupled with some trades as teams try to get under the cap, knowing that it is going to drop this season. I'm looking forward to next week, and I know you are as well.
No, it's going to be awesome, Jordan. Going to be awesome.
That's going to do it for us. Again, don't forget, you can listen whenever, wherever at CastleCountryRadio.com. That's the podcast of Drive Time Sports. You can find it there. He's Vinny Rondinelli. I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. We are out.